the Yes to Life show on UK Health Radio. I'm Robin Daly, host for the show and founder of Yes to Life, the UK's integrative cancer care charity, helping people with cancer to learn about integrating complementary and lifestyle interventions into their treatment protocols. So my guests are all from within the sphere of integrative medicine, which includes this week's guest, of course, Sophie True. Sophie has been a key figure in the UK integrative cancer care scene ever since the birth of her brainchild, True Fields, way back pre-pandemic, a cancer awareness festival that was as original as it was popular. Today, I'm speaking to Sophie about some new courses that she's recently launched. Hi, Sophie, lovely as always to have you back on the Yes to Life show.
Hi, Robin. It's great to be back. Thanks for having me.
Now, you work in areas of cancer support that might be described as somewhat intangible. And when you started out in this direction, I think they would have been roundly dismissed by many people as unscientific or something a lot less polite. How would you say things have panned out over the years on that front?
Really interesting question, because when I was running all of those years ago, and the same with you with Yes to Life, it was kind of thought of as, I remember people writing, all of this holistic stuff is really dangerous. And that's 7 years ago. And now it's popping up everywhere, right? Kind of talk about breathwork and meditation. And obviously there's been some key people in the public eye who have drawn awareness to the power of breathing. But it's such a fundamental thing that can really shift a lot of things. But it's funny because I think, and as you'll have seen, we've really, even in the past 5 years, there's a change in narrative around integrative cancer care and around holistic support that wasn't really there. Have you found that?
Yeah, definitely found that. COVID was the turning point. I'm sure it was. It's certainly our experience at Yes Life that things changed in that period. Lots of people who never looked outside the box before started looking outside the box. Well, because they weren't even getting anything from the hospital. So it's like, what am I going to do? And they had plenty of time on their hands. The big thing, I think, was the fact there was the realization that COVID was a kind of disease that if you were basically healthy, it was rather horrid flu. But if you weren't, it could kill you.
Yeah.
And so wellness became a thing. You know, it actually existed. It wasn't just a sort of hippie idea.
Yeah.
Big change.
Big, big change. And actually, there's more that we can do alongside treatments as well, and more conversation around that. And obviously, we've got kind of key doctors to thank for that, and more lifestyle medicine recognition, I'd say.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Some of those key doctors you're talking about out there in the public eye, really pushing the messages, the twin messages of the over-reliance on medication and the capacity of lifestyle medicine to encourage good health. So, it's a good direction. Let's hope it keeps going, eh?
And also lifestyle medicine. The key that I find is actually lifestyle medicine sets conventional medicine up to work more effectively. And that's the really key thing, because it's how we are creating that environment to come into in the first place.
Yeah.
And if we're in a state of chronic stress, it's very hard for these things to be as effective as we know. So that's the key.
Yeah, absolutely with you there. In so many ways, I was just talking this week with an oncologist about the way that, different forms of lifestyle medicine can actually make conventional medicine not only work better but work for much longer before the body starts to say no and it doesn't work anymore. And these are massive wins, and the synergies are amazing.
Yeah, totally. What were you talking about specifically with that oncologist? I'm curious, what kind of lifestyle medicine?
This was nutrition.
Yeah,
particularly in that case.
Yeah.
And it was making treatments effective for far longer.
Interesting.
So really interesting. So even though you're something of a regular on the show, for the listeners who don't know you, I wonder if you'd give us a little potted history of how you've got to be helping people with cancer through breath work and mind-body medicine.
Absolutely. So a few years ago, we'll go back about a decade. So I first came into this work through my own diagnosis when I was 23. I got a blood cancer diagnosis. And at that point, I had no idea what cancer was or anything really. I had it in the lymphatic system. I didn't know what the lymphatic system was. And at the beginning of my treatment, so I have a background, I trained in journalism, so I love asking a lot of questions, as do you, Robin. That's where we connect. And the first few appointments with my doctors, I just said, okay, so what can I do to help myself? I wanted to take active role. And so many appointments stand out, but a few words in particular. Cancer's a lottery. There's no reason why you got it. Don't do, you know, your lifestyle doesn't make a difference. So fortunately, I saw that as a light bulb moment. I know a lot of people would take that information and think, okay, great, there's nothing for me to do. And that's kind of quite a big moment. So I then went down many rabbit holes. But the truth is that was more towards the end of my treatment. That was after chemotherapy, when I kind of had the space, I think, to not be the survival mode of going from one appointment to the next. I really feel like my healing kind of happened when the intense treatment ended. So I had chemotherapy for 6 months. And then I explored so many different aspects of integrative medicine, from nutrition to movement to supplements to different treatments, from hyperbaric oxygen and, you know, all of the amazing modalities that are out there. And then I was actually in part, so I was running, I had this kind of idea baby, and you were just talking about all the ideas that you have for Yes to Life this year, which sounds amazing. And I know you have a lot of these sparks of inspiration too. And one of them was, there are so many amazing people in this kind of integrative cancer space, and yet there's not necessarily that many chances for people to come together. And I wanted to do this in a kind of festival setting, where it was filled with fun, but also being outdoors and creative. So that's when I did True Fields. And it was actually there that I started to come across breathwork. But after exploring all of these different modalities to help myself heal, but ultimately to prevent a reoccurrence, as we know, that's quite a big aspect as well.
Right.
I came across breathwork and meditation. And it was the first time that I realized that I'd been living in this kind of state of chronic stress, which is so easy for us to live in anyway, day to day. And I was asthmatic before the diagnosis. And as I went on my kind of healing process, I don't have asthma anymore. I don't have a lot of the things that I had before. And even though I've been asthmatic since I was 10, so for kind of 15 years at that point, no one ever said, how do you breathe?
Right.
And functionally, for a lot of people with asthma, their upper chest breathing, their shallow breathing. And when I started to really look at how I was breathing, it shifted everything. But not only on the kind of asthma level, but I reduced my stress hormones, and emotionally, I was able to actually process what had happened to me through the cancer experience and things, and navigate the PTSD that came afterwards. Because, for example, when we don't want to feel something, we hold our breath. I don't know if you've ever noticed that.
Yep.
But we might shallow breathe. And so and 80% of people, I think it is, are holding their breath when they open their emails. So that shows how on edge we are. But when we're going through something stressful, the first thing we tend to change is the way that we breathe. So it's a really interesting thing that happens. And then in turn, we can't just change our heart rate by thinking about it. We can't change our digestion. We can't alter these internal systems. But through our breathing, we can actually change we influence every system and function in our body.
Mm.
So I think it was this discovery of, wow, years I haven't been able to breathe. And I've been kind of wheezing and short of breath through being asthmatic. And yet, discovering breathwork and meditation were really tools that helped me to come back to myself, to actually build or even build a relationship with myself and my body. And it's interesting because a lot of people say, oh yeah, it's just breathing. But actually, when you do alter your breath, and we've seen it in many different ways, but when you do alter your breath, you can really change how you think, how you feel. But also on an immune system level, when we breathe with our diaphragm, so our breathing muscle, which so many people don't even use, because a lot of us are upper chest breathing, holding our breath. When we breathe with our diaphragm, we activate our vagus nerve. And we'll go into that, but part of our healing is we really want to come into that symbiosis more regularly. And even just a few rounds of diaphragmatic breathing can help you get there. So I think after going down all of those different rabbit holes, it was these two that really stood out as meditation and breathwork were the key things that really helped me to thrive, I guess.
Interesting. Yeah. So it's over the period I've known you that I saw you getting hooked on breathwork and meditation. And yeah, it's obviously very much been the directions.
Getting hooked.
Yeah, you got hooked, definitely.
Well, there's reasons for that as well, from what I see with clients. And also even thinking about the Yes to Life conference last year, everything that I hear repeated, and you will have heard it too, you'll constantly hear people say, and in one way or the other, it's very hard to heal when we're chronically stressed. And this was something that I was really picking up on in the conference last year, that we can do all of these things. And I see it in so many clients that they come to me and they're doing everything. And it's kind of like, I'm doing this nutrition. I'm doing this like really intense supplement plan, doing. But often it's actually creating a bit more stress.
Right.
And then they've got the fear that if they don't do all of this, they're going to get more ill. And there's kind of like this pressure that we take into, and it's really natural because it's an overwhelming experience and there's so much to take in. But what I've noticed is when we can actually find moments to bring in relaxation, it can help people actually absorb the nutrition, digest and absorb the supplements. All of these things, reducing chronic stress is really just what I've seen fundamental to actually heal.
Yeah. Okay. I have to agree with you.
You have to.
What I want to talk to you about today is you've got two new courses I want to hear about. And you told me you've been cooking these up for a while, a couple of years maybe, which tells me they're a kind of step on from what you've offered before. So can you encapsulate what it is that you've brought into these new courses of yours that, has expanded what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So they have been cooking. I'd say they've even been cooking from 10 years, I guess, of working with different clients and supporting people through cancer. And one is called Calm Through Cancer and the other is Calm After Cancer. So one is when you're going through active treatment or stage 4 and you're ongoing. And then the second is when you're moving forward after treatment. And it's really, I'd say it's kind of the accumulation of the most powerful tools that I've come across over the past decade, from tools to support your nervous system, even education on what even is the nervous system. Why does that matter? The stress cancer connection. There's everything on sleep, how to breathe, how to meditate, what mindfulness is. It's really kind of an overview of mind body healing in a step by step way, but also kind of leading people along the way and bite-sized lessons. So it takes you what breathwork is, what breathing is, all of these different aspects. And then there's also aspects which are really, really important on things like self-compassion, how to be kind to yourself, how to notice what is most authentic, because I think authenticity is a really key part of our healing as well. So what does it even mean? What does an authentic life mean? What brings me meaning? What brings me fulfillment? Because all of these are part of your nutrition ultimately. And so the idea of the course is to help people come into that healing state and to not feel overwhelmed with it. I'm a really big believer in bite-sized well-being snacks.
Okay.
What I said to you earlier, that actually 5 minutes of movement, 5 minutes of breathing, 5 minutes of meditation is better than not doing it.
Mm.
Often we kind of get in our head, oh, I don't have time to breathe or meditate. But even the science and the research shows even 3 minutes will shift your physiology. Even two, one of the quickest ways to reduce stress is just to slow your exhale down. You can do that now, as you said to me, you've been very busy. So
yep.
Just even taking a couple of slow breaths and exhaling really slowly, your heart rate slows down, you're going to reduce your stress. So that's another aspect of the course. Life is busy. How can you simplify what you're doing? And really, I guide people with 4 modules and lots of exercises, exploring that kind of relationship with ourselves, self-connection, letting go. But really, I guess, it's kind of the mind, body, spirit aspect of healing as well.
Right.
So that's what.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
So look, just to be clear, yeah, you've got these two courses and they're for different periods in your experience. Obviously, one going through treatment, one afterwards. What you've just been describing are things that apply to both, maybe, but
yeah.
What's the difference between them?
Yeah, interesting. So the first one is for when you're going through treatments, and there'll be different tools and exercises for surgery, for chemo, for radio, immunotherapy, whatever process it is that you're going through. So it's going to be different types of breathing and meditations for that hospital experience. And also a different kind of tone to the course itself. So that is active support in those moments. And then the after treatment is about moving forward and supporting you to rebuild confidence, because I think confidence, trust is such a kind of key part of moving forward after your diagnosis. And a lot of people, even years on, and it's really normal, have that fear of reoccurrence.
Right.
So for the after cancer, it's navigating fear of reoccurrence, rebuilding your confidence, and helping you move forward. And it's also for both parts, like I said, finding a way to fit everything in without pressure. Because what I have seen is a lot of the time a kind of healing protocol becomes stressful or a pressure. if we feel like we can't fit it all in. And so that's the kind of key aspect time-wise as well. So the videos, so the video course, then there's lots of resources around it.
Right. Okay. That's great. All right. So just to dive into one specific question, which is a big one for people and which I'm sure your courses are particularly going to try and deal with. And that's one of the great conundrums that I know lots of people wrestle with, is that as soon as you lift the covers a little bit on the mind-body connection, it doesn't take too long before you come to the realization you've just mentioned that, you know, being continually stressed isn't good for your health. And in fact, you might come to realize that stress has been underpinning your life for years, quite possibly a big part of why you've ended up with this diagnosis. So as soon as you've got that perspective, then you realize that few things actually can match cancer for fostering stress.
Yeah.
So it's a very hard corner to get out of. So would you say something about the situation and what you've found to be helpful to yourself and to others?
Yeah. So what I think is really, and this is such a huge one, and I do a whole module and conversation on the stress-cancer connection, because as we know, it's huge. And in terms of our immune system, our nervous system and our immune system, I mean, our nervous system will support our immune system. So when we're feeling chronically stressed, we're going to be much more susceptible to getting ill, as we know, just even on a kind of run-down level is what we see.
Mm-hmm.
But inevitably, it's that stress cycle, because then you realize, as you said, oh, wow, chronic stress is a big factor in my healing, in my immune system, and all of that support inflammation. And then this is really stressful. And then the fear comes in. And so what I would say is, first of all, this is an opportunity. Even a few moments of slowing down and being aware of it makes a difference. And that's where that self-compassion part comes in, of going really gently with yourself. A lot of people, we're not really taught how to speak kindly to ourselves. We don't see it modeled that well in other people when we grow up, for a lot of us.
No.
And so a great way to reduce stress is noticing the way that you're speaking to yourself. A lot of us might be doing stuff and pushing ourselves because we feel like we're not enough, or we need to be kind of doing more. Or there's a lot of undercurrents to explore, but really importantly, just starting where you are and being aware of the fact that maybe it's been a stressful time, or, you know, there's aspects of your life that make you more stressed. Or for a lot of us, maybe our nervous system, our capacity to hold stress has been rocked by a particular situation in life. So for some people, they might have had a bereavement. For other people, they might have had a challenge with their job. Or we've all had challenging situations that will have been stressful in some way. But where I kind of start is just noticing and identifying and finding a way to be kind to yourself in that process. And to know that, yes, we know that stress has this impact, but also the opposite is true. And can step by step build that kind of road to more relaxation. And we all have different modalities or things that work for us. So some people really love stretching and movement. Some people find exercise really helps them to relax. Other people, for a lot of the time, people say, I can't meditate, I'm too busy.
All right.
And the thing is, we're all busy. And it's really natural to have a busy mind when you come to meditation. But there's so many different ways that we can unwind. But inevitably, yes, cancer is stressful. Yes, we learn about stress. And that's where going gently and being kind to yourself is key. But also knowing that it's kind of building in the little things that you do in your day. Is there something that you can start your day and end your day with? And that's, I bring in a morning and evening routine as well in the courses, because it's really helpful just to have a few moments of grounding and noticing some of the areas you can change. And it will be overnight, but I think really knowing that actually it's really normal to feel stressed through cancer. We're all going to feel stressed, and that's okay.
Right.
But the more that we get stressed about feeling the stress, kind of that cycle, isn't it?
Yes.
But that's why I think having a bit like when we go to the gym for our bodies, or, well, I don't go, I like running outside, whatever movement that you do, we want to be doing the same for our minds. It's like brain training. So having a few minutes of slow breathing is going to help you with your stress resilience. And then you're going to feel like, actually, I can kind of cope a bit more. I can feel a bit more present, whatever it is for you. So I'd say start where you are. Inevitably, cancer is stressful. We know that. And that's really, really normal. There's nothing wrong with you is really important. You know, you're not failing if you feel stressed. But the beauty is the opposite is also true.
Mm.
So if you can bring in a little bit of calm and relaxation, it will make a difference. What would you say to that, Robin, in your experience? What do you feel? Because you've been here.
Well, it's true. It's true. A long time ago, but yes. Well, in terms particularly of accommodating the fact that, of course, you're feeling stressed, that it seems prime to me, is just accepting the reality of the fact that that's how it is, and that's not surprising. You know, not expecting that you should be different
exactly.
to this in some way, but just accepting that you are stressed. That in itself actually undoes quite a bit, I think. And yeah, actually being real about things. That thing you mentioned about being stressed, that's like fear of fear. You know, it's a circular sort of mess that you can get into. and actually, you can bring a lot of calm in just by being realistic and coming back to how things actually are.
I agree. And I think it's that acceptance. And a lot of people don't, when I talk to people about this, sometimes they think that's being passive and it means they're not doing anything. But actually, when we're in resistance to it, that's when we're going to feel that internal suffering or struggle. Oh, I shouldn't be feeling this way. I think that's where the inner narrative, I shouldn't, oh, I'm not coping as well, or why am I like this? It kind of creates that more tension. And it's the same thing of what I said about fitting it in with your routine. A lot of people are more get worried or stressed that if they don't do everything on their kind of healing plan that day, because there's a lot to fit in. If you're doing a sauna and you're juicing and whatever it is that you might be doing,
right.
It's kind of the stress that if I don't do it all, I'm going to get worse. And I think that's where we also need to give us a bit of grace and acceptance.
Yeah.
A bit like going in seasons and cycles. We have more energy at different points than other times. We're kind of in a place of needing a bit more rest.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the thing it's easy to forget is, I mean, if you're trying to establish a new habit, for example, you know, a good, healthy habit, and for whatever reason, you just don't do it, you know, it's so easy to get into the mindset of the off the wagon mindset where you've fallen off the wagon and, oh, there's no hope. I'm never going to be able to do it. As opposed to the minute you start doing it again, you're back on the wagon. In fact, you know.
Exactly.
It's just, I forgot for a bit. Well, I'm going to start again. That's very empowering, I think.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, totally. Every day is a chance to start again if you want to, or just to pick it back up.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
I wanted to talk about one particular aspect of this, the sort of prime factor, if you like, driving stress from cancer is being kind of plunged into a situation in which any sense you have of being in control of your life has got brutally ripped away and you feel utterly vulnerable to all sorts of forces that are completely outside your control.
Yeah.
So this is really frightening stuff and, of course, therefore stressful. So how do you go about helping people come to terms with this new reality that's been thrust on them?
Yeah, it's a huge process and it's definitely overwhelming. And there's a lot of, it's like learning a whole new medical language, as we know. And so what I always come back to is what's in this moment right now? How can we come into those presence practices? So right now in this moment, actually kind of in this moment, am I safe? What's the day-to-day situation? Because otherwise, I think if we think of it all at once, it can be really overwhelming. So I kind of guide people into that step-by-step process. And it is a lot. And life in its own right, if we think about it on a broader sense, we have the illusion that we're in control of anything. And we're not.
I know. Yeah, that's the golden nugget to come out from cancer is actually coming to terms with that fact in life, of course. But nonetheless, for most people who are being diagnosed, they did have some sense of control and it's gone. And it's a big deal.
I think there's a huge sense of a shock of I thought I was healthy. And that's a scary thing. Or I didn't know that this was going on in my body. And it absolutely, it's a huge deal. And there's not really a way, like that is, as we said, that is the reality of something so enormous and going through this. And so finding those ways that you can just bring in a bit of spaciousness or have a few deeper breaths or feel like you can support yourself through it. Because as we know, it's not the situation, but the way that we can support how we react and navigate it. And that's, again, that's not instant. And that's not for people to feel like they should be coping a certain way, but to know, again, like you said, you can always start navigating things and knowing that you can be supported through it. And for me, I think it's more of the presence practices like movement, but like meditation, like breathwork, mind-body practices that help you come into this moment and find a way to navigate each step. And things like gratitude, for example, even having a small practice of gratitude to kind of focus your attention a little bit each day can be helpful, I find.
Okay. All right. So look, when you told me about your new courses, there were three things you mentioned, which I thought, interesting. People would like to know more about these. I'd like to know more about what you're speaking about directly. And these were alignment, authenticity, and post-traumatic growth. So these are all things that you have incorporated in your course in some way. Do you want to say a bit about what you mean by all those three and what you're doing about them in your course?
Absolutely. So the post-traumatic growth aspect is a big one. And I think when it comes to both courses, so when we're going through treatment, there can be moments that we notice maybe some changes in ourselves, but this is more of a aspect potentially when you have finished treatment, or if you're in ongoing treatment, when you've got a kind of treatment break and there's a bit more space, I'd say.
Uh-huh.
And post-traumatic growth is the idea that through the challenges that we go through, we can also grow in different ways. And this isn't to put that kind of false positivity spin on it, but it's to look at how are the ways that I've kind of changed in my perspective, in the things that I maybe appreciate differently in those moments. There might be moments that you notice differently, because for me, definitely, there's a different awareness of time after facing your mortality and after kind of thinking about death.
Mm.
That you notice, how do I want to maybe take care of my body now? Like, is there any change? And this comes to that authenticity part. Is there a different way that I want to be living? What feels in alignment with me now? And that can be if you are maybe in the months, the years ahead, or just exploring what is it that brings me meaning. And there's this quote that I often share: we have two lives, and the second begins the moment that we realize we only have one. Don't know if you've heard that.
I have heard that. It's a great quote. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's really this kind of moment of, wow, this for me, awareness that I was going to die really helped me to feel more appreciation and gratitude, and that kind of continues. But also just to notice, what are the things, and this is the authenticity part that comes in with the post-traumatic growth, what do I value? Like, how do I actually want to spend my time? If I have had this, let's say, wake-up call, and even if that time is not as long as it might be chronologically, even if you've got a shortened amount of time, how do I want to spend it? And that comes into living authentically, where what we feel and what we do is in alignment. So what we actually want to be, and that might be work-wise, that might be relationships, that might be just noticing actually what are some of the things that weren't in alignment. A lot of people say, oh, I've been in a really, and this is very, inevitably, this is hard because we all need to earn money and life is expensive, but people realize, I've been in a job that's been draining my life force, or I've been in a situation that's been continually stressful for months and years and years.
Right.
So what is it? Can you put in more boundaries around that? Can you maybe stop people pleasing? That was a big one for me, just actually doing everything for everyone else, but not actually thinking about what was it that I wanted to be doing. And that's not on a selfish level, because a lot of people, a lot of women in particular, potentially you as well, Robin, but a lot of women are naturally putting other people before themselves. And so that kind of people-pleasing aspect and self-sacrifice is a big one. So, I mean, this is such a broad aspect if we kind of look at all of the different aspects in our lives. But that's that kind of piece of spiritual healing for me, of what is it that would be soul food or nutrition. We do the physical nutrition, that's great, but what is it that is going to support my life force? Because that is really healing when we do stuff that actually lights us up.
Mm.
And the alignment part is just noticing, if we think about that kind of state of chronic stress, what is it that has felt out of alignment, and are there just some little changes that you can do to kind of move towards a life that feels supportive for you and that feels kind of energy giving.
Mm.
And as I said, there will be aspects, of course, that we have to do anyway, you know, family roles, responsibilities, work roles and responsibilities. But I know for a lot of people that I see, and I know that you will too, is kind of that post-traumatic growth aspect is what is, if we look at it like this, and not everyone will, and that's okay, but
right.
What is the opportunity in this as part of my healing? So, yes, I'm doing the kind of medical healing, but what is the opportunity for my mind, body, spirit moving forward?
No.
You know, we think about Sophie Savage, and she always said, yeah. I've been put on notice. What do I need to take notice of?
Mm.
So what do I need to take notice of? And that for me is that alignment, the living authentically. I think a lot of people spend their lives living in a way that they think other people want them to.
Right.
Or living in a way, let's say from younger years, their kids, their parents want them to, or not living a life that's true to them.
Mm.
And that can be where they're living. That can be the job, like I said, but that's some reflection that I have. And a way that I get people to do that is through writing, through journaling, but also when you, so there's so many different aspects of breath work, but when you breathe in a certain way, which we would call conscious connected breath work, you are able to come into a little bit like a state of hypnosis. You're able to come into an altered state with your thinking. And by doing that, it's a chance to think about, to connect to outdated beliefs. Often I say to people, what have you been believing about yourself? And is it true? Like what have you been believing about your health or your body or any situation of your life? And a lot of the time, it's not true and it's not supportive. And I think that's where we can kind of take the chance to grow through these experiences and these practices as well.
Mm.
It's a very broad question, Robin, and I can go off on many, many different tangents.
Yeah, well, it's so interesting. This whole area was sort of in a separate box years ago, which was called spirituality, and people would go on these journeys of self-discovery in special contexts. But now, first of all, there's this interesting slow collision between these two worlds of the mind and the spirit and the body, where there's a realization that actually these two things are not separate. And they both affect each other, you know. And what you're describing there as part of your course is, of course, if you are encouraging people to learn from their experience in this way, to grow from their experience, you're actually not just affecting their happiness and their sense of self and their sense of knowing who they are and authenticity, as you say, but also, of course, that will have an effect on their physical body as well. A lifetime of being inauthentic also has an effect on our physical body. And so it's just fascinating the way that it's beginning to not be treated as, you know, all these separate bits. We're not being treated so much in separate bits, but we're looking at the whole person and realizing the whole person needs to heal in all these myriad different ways.
Totally. Everything is interconnected, and we can see it even if, and this is the aspect when people say, yeah, they were really healthy physically, but they still got sick. That it's kind of also what was going on in their mind, what was going on in the way that they related to life, what was going on in their fulfillment, what, you know, the things that actually, were they content? Were they holding on to emotions that maybe were impacting them? And as we both know, this, it's so varied for everybody. It's just, I feel like navigating a diagnosis is so unique for each person, even if it's the same as someone else. But these are kind of big aspects, and a lot of people are carrying emotions that would support them to feel lighter when they let them go and find a way to move through that too.
Yes. Anyway, probably a good point for me to put in a quick ad for 2026 conferences for Yes to Life. The title of them both, our online and our in-person conference, are Reclaiming Our True Nature, What Science is Telling Us About the Impact of Psychological, Emotional and Spiritual Factors on Survivorship. So right on that topic, 16th of May, 26th of September. So something to look forward to if you're interested in this area. So look, we're just about out of time. Fantastic to speak to you as always. I'm always getting these great reports of the work you do with people. You know, we share, you know, people come to us who go to you. They absolutely love it. So I strongly encourage listeners to get in touch if they're interested. Do you want to tell them the best place to find out more about your courses and to contact you?
Yeah, thank you, Robin. And the feeling is mutual. As you know, when I was first diagnosed in 2014, having you, Yes to Life, I was like, this is amazing. It's a place that I can actually direct people to. So Thank you for that. I do one-on-one breathwork sessions, but it's more like the things that we've been exploring about. So breathwork and coaching, and also run the Yes to Life breathwork sessions.
All right.
And the courses are available on my website, sophietrew.com. It's TREW, as you'll probably see written down somewhere. And I also have the membership so people can come and practice meditation and practice breathing in those spaces.
Wonderful. All right. Well, thanks so much, Sophie. Very interesting. Wonderful having you as part of our Yes Life family, one of our lead advisors, as you say, running some of our groups. Marvelous. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Robin.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for having me.
If this is your first encounter with Sophie, I encourage you strongly to find out more. She's a wonderful resource for anyone with cancer or caring for someone with cancer. And I'm delighted to say that Sophie will be featuring in our London conference on September the 26th this year. Thanks for listening today. It's always a pleasure that so many of you join me each week and enjoy hearing from the many experts that I speak to. I've got another one lined up for you next week, so I do hope you'll make a point of joining me again for the next Yes to Life show here on UK Health Radio. Goodbye.